This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 592.
Today we hear again from Simon, and when Simon says something, we must comply. Simon says,
"Does UK English annoy or trip you up when you're reading? I stick with UK English because trying to convert to US English would just throw me off massively, and my wife and editor gives me enough grief if I stray into an Americanism as it is."
Well, we are two countries separated by a common language. A lot of interesting stuff happened to English as it came across the pond. I love UK English. Of course, I read a lot of British books as a kid, and so I still accidentally add in the occasional flavorful U to words like color. UK spellings are just beautiful. UK pronunciations are batshit insane. Aluminium? I mean, I know you guys actually spell the extra syllable and we don't, but really, what is that extra I doing in there? Nobody needs that many I's in a metal. It's just not necessary. Jaguar. It's a jaguar, okay? I understand what it is. You guys pronounce French words in ways that are intended to offend the French. And that's a noble cause, but you take it way too far. But seriously, I don't have any problem with Briticisms. And, you know, with the popularity of Harry Potter in the last generation, I think, and with, you know, Tolkien, the previous generation, who wasn't Americanized at all in his U.S. publications, I don't think you're gonna have much of a problem with intelligibility bringing most U.K. English across the pond. Now, if you're descending into rhyming slang, or if you're gonna be using a lot of Scouse pronunciations, or God forbid, Geordie pronunciations, then you're gonna have some problems. And some of the slang differences between the US and the UK may also present you some problems, because while you guys are perfectly happy to have a fag during dinner, around here that sort of thing will get you arrested for indecent exposure or for gay bashing. And there's all sorts of things like that, like you have slags and we have sluts. Most of the time, what happens is that your preferred slang is not known over here, and your subsidiary slang is. And the reason is that you picked up your subsidiary slang from the quasi-occupational American forces during the two world wars. So there's a variety of slang, particularly the criminal and the sexual, that can get very confusing. Fanny means something completely different to a Brit than it does to an American. For Americans, the fanny is around the back, and for the Brits, the fanny is in the front, and that gets a little confusing. So you want to be aware of those kinds of things and either skirt around that particular slang or release an Americanized version for stuff where the slang involved is actually going to be confusing for most Americans. But once you get away from the sexual and the criminal, most of the slang is similar enough that we all know, even the British versions of it. Again, like I said, except for Cockney rhyming slang, which even those of us that have studied it find utterly baffling. I can decode Cockney rhyming slang, but I can't actually hear it and make any sense of it at all other than to identify what language it is. So for what it's worth, hopefully that'll help you a little bit. I love British English. It's a beautiful, archaic language with lots of weirdness in it. Just like I love American English and Australian English, both of which are beautiful, brawling languages with a lot of wonderful coarseness in them.
Oh, what about genre? I think that might make a difference. Ooh, that's a good point. The thing that I think about it is in the fantasy genre, readers almost expect Britishisms, but that might not be the case in, say, mystery. Or a thriller.
That's a good point. So what are some of the expectation levels you would expect since you've got your finger on the pulse of the market?
I wish. You gave the example of Harry Potter as breaking through the American market in terms of Briticisms. But that and Tolkien are both fantasy set in Britain. Mm,
as is like Doctor Who, which though it's not a book, does spread the gospel of British English quite a bit.
Right. And those are audiences that are already primed for it or were primed for it because of those particular pieces of fiction. And that audience is going to be more receptive, I think, than a typical non-fantasy reader. I guess keep an eye on the market and whether that might be a barrier in certain genres, but not in others.
All right. Well, good luck. Thank you very much for keeping the English language alive, vibrant, and kicking. And I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.